This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, an assessment of director Quentin Tarantino. His new film, Kill Bill Volume 1, is released today, and a summary judgment of the rest of the movies in the theaters this weekend. But first, it's time for the segment that actually saves you time. You spend a few minutes with us on Friday, and you get to sleep in on Sunday, skipping all the political talk shows. Impress your friends, wow the people at the party tonight with your knowledge of what the talking heads are going to say. Joining us now, as he does every week at this time, is senior NPR correspondent Juan Williams. Hi, Juan.
Good day, Madeline.
Now, the White House is not sending anyone out this weekend?
Yeah, can you believe it? I think they're all going to see Kill Bill. I think that they decided nobody goes out because over the course of the last week, as you may have recalled, the president has spoken. Dick Cheney speaks on Friday, today. Condoleezza Rice spoke in Chicago. Colin Powell, the Secretary of State, had an op-ed all on the same theme, which is things are going much better in Iraq than the American people have been led to believe. We've got it under control. And the White House doesn't want anyone on the Sunday shows because the president is going to do 5 or 6 interviews, TV interviews, on Monday, again to drum home this message that the American people don't understand how well things are going in Iraq, the progress that's been made, and the necessity that existed even in the absence of weapons of mass destruction, to oust Saddam Hussein. And so it's going to be that refrain said many times as a drumbeat to counteract what has been the president slipping polls in terms of approval of his handling of the situation in Iraq.
And aside from that, the big booking battle is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Any luck there?
No, so far not. So far what you see is that instead all the Sunday shows are focused on Iraq, and so you're going to have people like Senator Mitch McConnell, who just recently led a delegation of senators into that region. He's coming back, and he's going to really act as a chorus to what the president's message is, saying, I went there, I can see the good work that's being done, I can see the transition that's taking place. We no longer have a people that's oppressed. On NBC's Meet the Press, you're going to have Senators Biden and Lugar, who are going to say much the same thing, that, you know, the American people have to understand, as the Congress makes a decision about approving this $87 billion for military action and reconstruction in Iraq, that some good is being done. You're going to have John Kerry, the presidential candidate, seeking the Democratic nomination on ABC. All of these people talking about what's going on in Iraq, and that's going to be the big theme and the setup for the president's presentation on Monday.
Yeah, and he's got a tough road to hoe there with daily news reports coming out of Iraq showing clashes and nearly daily reports of casualties.
It was a terrible week, you know, the worst week that they've had in Iraq for some time, and for the White House comes at a very inopportune moment, as you just pointed out, Madeline. The hope was that really things would start to turn around. This week, Paul Bremer, who's the president's lead civilian in charge in Iraq, made a big point of saying they've got the electricity back on, things are getting better, but gosh, it comes at just the point when you see more Americans dying, when you see even people from other countries being shot in their doorways at home. It's really a troubling situation.
And at home in Washington, I understand you were actually at the White House?
Yes, Madeline. It's one of those things where you can't believe your eyes. If someone sends you an invitation and says, you know, please come to the White House for a state dinner, you say, oh my gosh, did they send this to the wrong person? But no, they sent it to me. And so on Monday, I not only went to the state dinner, but I went to the arrival ceremony for the president of Kenya. I took my 14-year-old. It was an amazing experience because the president of Kenya is an elderly man, and he'd had a stroke recently, but he has recently taken office. Nonetheless, his health and well-being is a key issue. So they had my son and I standing right next to the two presidents. And as the president, Kabuki from Kenya, was walking up the steps, you could see him struggling. And I thought, why doesn't the president, our president, President Bush, reach out and help him? Later, I learned from White House aides that to touch him at that moment would have seemed as if the U.S. was propping up this man and that he has to demonstrate physical vigor to some extent to reassure his own voters back home that he can do the job and that he is not to be threatened by, not threatened by anybody who would try to remove him from office.
Oh, so interesting. So every small gesture has enormous political implications.
You know, from the outside, sometimes as we do political analysis, we are unaware of how small gestures can have such large impact.
And I also understand that there was a moment where you were sitting next to the First Lady and some event happened?
Oh, you know what was funny was that during the dinner, I mean, well, I was sitting next to the First Lady and the President of Kenya and Judith Jameson from the Alvin Ailey Dance Company and Senator Bill Frist. It was an incredible company. But anyway, at the next table, the president gets a note. And so later I said, you know, hey, what was that note about, Mr. President? He said, oh, it was the score of the Oakland-Boston game because it was the deciding night for that series. So I guess the former owner of the Texas Rangers maintains his interest in the great American pastime, baseball.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Madeline, have a good weekend.
NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams.